latest news and views on greyhound racing from around Australia. Racing HQ presents Going Greyhounds.
And at 28 to 11, good morning, Timmy Ewald. How are you, Tim?
Really well, Sean. Good morning to you. Good morning, everyone. And welcome along to Going Greyhounds for our third show of 2017. Mark Duclos currently on leave and we'll be back in a fortnight. We seem to say it each and every week, but it's been another busy week in greyhound racing, and on today's show we'll preview a massive night coming up at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. We'll chat to PM Braddon and Ray Smith, who have both qualified runners for the Group 1 Pools of Thunder. Mark Gatt will join us and chat about It's a Fling, who lines up in the Group 2 Summer Plate, and we'll head to Tassie and catch up with Gavin Burke, who has the favourite Pantera Nerian tomorrow afternoon's Group 3 Devonport Cup. As far as other feature races run around the country over the past week or so, the Group 3 Birthday Cup held centre stage in WA on Friday night at Mandurah. Pepper Fire for Chris Holes got the money, defeating Max Profit and Fire Blaze. Three quarters by three were the margins, 22.68 the run, and Chris having a tremendous run at the moment. And at Angle Park on Thursday night, two heats of the SA Sprint Championships were held. South Australia's favourite son, Wormburner, won a heat in 29.78, and Marlowe Brown won the other in 29.70. That final will be held on Thursday night, and tab.com.au will have a market up in the next 24 hours or so. Our first guest on the show is Pam Braddon. Pam and her husband Paul prepare Boom Puppy Falcon's Fury, the reigning favourite for Saturday night's Group 1 Pools of Thunder at Wentworth Park. And Pam is joining us on the show. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning.
Pam, you bred, own and train Falcon's Fury. It must be an incredible thrill to just make the big one on Saturday night.
Yeah, it is, actually.
He's a greyhound who's only had a handful of starts now, and has he really shown what he's been producing at Wentworth Park from an early age?
Oh, yeah. As soon as we picked him up from break-in, he broke 19, and Dennis Barnes said he's going to be a good dog, this one. And from there, no matter where we put him, he just went well. He's just one of them.
He's literally the new kid on the block here in New South Wales. He won 6 out of 10 on country tracks before heading to town late last year, now unbeaten in 4 runs at Wentworth Park. He clocked 30 and 35 on debut at the track, and each and every run he's pretty much just improved, improved and improved.
Yeah.
What about 29.95 on Saturday night? He ran 29.70 odd a couple of runs prior. He bombed the jump on Saturday night. It was probably his best win.
I think so. He just did everything wrong. He tried to get himself beat, I believe.
What about the box draw? Shimmer Bar, box 1. Striker Light, box 2. Blabbermouth has come up with 3. Loanna's Son, 4. Brad Hill Billy, 5. Clock's Ticking, 6. Falcon's Fury in 7. And Magic Lace has come up with box number 8. He's had boxes 1, 2 and 5 in his wins at Wentworth Park. He's drawn wider out in the 7 in the big one. What do you make of the draw? Do you prefer him drawn wider out?
Prefer him wider out, actually. At Wentworth Park, when you line up with the 1 and the 2 box, you're nearly on the rail. So if you bomb the start, you've got to get around dogs. He is a better beginner from a bit off the track. So I don't think the draw will worry him. He's just got to come out and do everything right. The 2 has plenty of pace. It'll be the 1, I think, leading. Don't think the 1 will beat the 2 round the bend, but you don't know in these races. Anything can happen, like they can bomb the start, but he's a very good greyhound, and he's still learning, and he's still making mistakes, but we're in with the chance, and I suppose so are the other 7 dogs, but we're hoping that he can do it for us.
He's got Clock's Ticking drawn on his immediate inside, and on Saturday night, that greyhound box seven and led all of the way and wanted to run to the inside, so yeah. He might give your guy a little bit of room to move in the initial stages.
Well, he did it the other day. He went across, and Falcon's just starting to go straight. He used to step off at one stage earlier, but now he's starting to do everything right once he gets going, so we're just hoping that he can clear it and get going. Like, if Brad Hill, Bill Hoot, is sitting on our hammer, it'll be very hard, I think. He's very strong.
Falcon's Fury is currently $2.70 with tab.com.au. Striker Light, $3. Shimmer Bar, $3.80. And then wider out to Clock's Ticking, $7.50. Brad Hill Billy and double figures the remaining trio. He's by Fabregas out of a bitch called Jindira's Fury, a bitch you owned and trained. Are there any other in the litter who have got anything like the ability of Falcon's Fury?
There's a bitch, Jindira's Wish. She goes well. She won 3 from 3 starts, and putting it together, we've just got a few injury problems. And the bigger dog, Falcon's Fury, he's got ability, but he's like 38 kilos, and he's just, he's all legs. I actually sold him during the week. He has got ability. They've just got to have to take their time with him. He will win races for them, but he's too full-on for us. He's a very full-on dog, but Falcon's sort of a different dog. He's a full package. Like, he's sensible, and he's quiet, except when he gets to the track, I suppose, but from day one, when we picked him up, Paul said, he's better than Marbo's Magic, this pup, and yeah, he is.
I read an article during the week that you knocked back a massive offer for Falcon Fury. Any truth to that? That is correct?
We did, yeah. They made an offer, and then they said they'd go higher, but Paul wants to race the dog himself. It's not about money. He just would like to get a group winner, one winner himself, and this is what it's about. He just wants to race him. He said, if I get the money, it's going to sit in the bank. He said, I want to race the dog. We realised he could go out on the track and break a leg and we could have nothing, or he mightn't keep going. But Paul, you know, he just wants to race his dog for a while. So that's the plan.
You had a great 2016, and you just mentioned Marbo's Magic. He claimed the Maitland Cup. You sent him down to Victoria to race. I haven't seen him for a few months, I think, back in October. Where's he?
He's had surgery. He fractured the bones in his foot, and he had to have a plate. So that was like 3 months, and he's had the plate out, and it's 2 more weeks before he can work the dog again, Anthony, but the vet reckons he will come back to race. It's an injury he had when we had him, apparently, and he used to favour his foot a bit after a run, and apparently that's what it was, and when it all exploded, they had to operate, put a plate in, shave all the bone. So, but the vet's confident that he will come back racing, so we're hoping.
Both you and Paul have had some very quick dogs over the years. Marbo's Magic, well, he was probably the best up until this guy. Would you say that?
Yes. This dog is definitely quicker. Even when we PT'd him, we sort of went to Dubbo and did a PT thinking, oh, we're not going to give him a little track because we don't want him to go fast because we want to back him. But he just come out and flew, and he did the same down at Bathurst. So everywhere we've gone, except the first start, we started him at Bulleye on the big straight here, and he did lead and get run down, but never had a big straight, and that was probably our mistake. We just thought, oh, well, 8 box, he'll get this, and no, he got run down. I think he hit the lead, but, yeah, he got run down, but, yeah.
Yeah, I did notice he has been very, very short in all of his races. As far as price is concerned, now, you and Paul are hobby trainers based on 20 acres at Akara. How many do you have on the property and in work?
Oh, there's probably 48, and there would be 17 in the race shed in work. And I've got other dogs in the brick kennels, 5 of them, to go away to break in at the end of the month. But out of them, I suppose, there's a dozen of them are my retirees, my old ones. So, yeah, so if you take it down, there's probably 30, 37 or something.
Being based at Cowra, the round trips to Wentworth Park and other tracks have got to be taxing. You have a greyhound like Falcon's Fury, it must be a tough decision, like you did with Marbo's Magic, to send to another trainer to give them those opportunities to race on a city track regularly.
Yeah, well, we're going to try and raise him up this area ourselves for a while, and eventually he will go down to Anthony. But at this stage, we're going to go, well, hopefully for the Derby and maybe the Maitland Cup and the Bulleye, and hopefully maybe if we're good enough for the Easter Egg. But it depends on what happens this week and if he keeps sound and if he continues to go on. You know, a lot can happen with greyhounds. Well, you can't predict it.
Yeah,
and he's a very keen chaser, and even when he's behind, he just tries his heart out. But he can only do his best.
And take one day at a time, eh?
That's it.
Well, Pam, you've got one of the most promising greyhounds in New South Wales. He's the reigning Paws of Thunder favourite for Saturday night. Enjoy the lead-up and the night, and all the very best in the big one.
I hope everything goes well for us, and of course everybody else that's in the race, and there are no injuries. That's the main thing. Everyone gets around safely, and we dearly would like to win it, of course, but maybe it will pan out and maybe it won't, but we'll just see what happens on the night. Okay?
Thanks for joining us, Pam.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, joining us online is another country trainer, Ray Smith. Ray prepares Brad Hill Billy, who has drawn box 5 in the Pools of Thunder. He set the benchmark on Saturday night, running 29.94 and brought up win number 15 at Wentworth Park. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, if Falcon's Fury is known as the new kid on the block, Brad Hill Billy is at the other end of the spectrum. He's the old hardhead. He's lining up for his 10th group race on Saturday night. What an old marvel.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I had a look at Brad was racing for 5 months before Falcon was even born. So we've got... He's the new kid and we've got a bit of experience, I suppose.
Well, Brad Hill Billy's had 87 starts, 33 wins, 34 minors. He's won over $275,000 in prize money. What do you put his longevity down to?
Oh, I don't know, mate. He just loves doing it, I suppose. And, yeah, I think he's wanting to win more than ever at the moment. He just, I don't know. No idea. There is a little bit of a twinkle in his eye at the moment because he's been over to collect some straws because we've had a bit few in stud inquiries. So every time he gets in the car, he seems a little bit happier, I suppose.
He's a bit G'd up. Look, he was a narrow runner-up in the Group 1 Golden Easter Egg last year behind Marrera. What would it mean to you to go one better and take out a Group 1?
Oh, yeah, that'd be just great. You know, that'd be the icing on the cake. He's won 2 Group 2s and second in a Group 1. So, I mean, there's 7 good dogs, other good dogs. So you just got to wait your turn. But I suppose he's not going to go forever, so this might be his best chance.
He's a unique greyhound. He's known more as a backmarker and run-on type. He's got incredible field sense in a race, hasn't he? He's always looking for the run mid-race, and he's got it a lot of times, but a number of times he hasn't got it.
Oh, that's right. He relies a lot on what the other dogs are doing around him, and I think he's got better at it, actually. He's got older. So, if he gets to the corner and he's on the outside of a dog that wants to run off, he's in trouble. But if he gets the rails running, he's 4 or 5 off him, usually down the back. He's there in the finish for sure. He's getting home in 11:50 odd. That's his best, but he's usually around about that mark with a clear run. But you don't always get it, and that's part of being a back marker. But he's done an incredible job for a dog that doesn't lead at Wentworth Park to win 15 races there. Just remarkable what he's done here.
Yeah, being an older dog, he actually turned 4 years of age on Saturday night, so celebrated his 4th birthday with victory in a heat of the Paws of Thunder. Being an older greyhound, do you change anything up in the ensuing week? Do you in preparation for the big one?
The last couple of months, I've sort of not trialled him at all, probably, and just spaced his runs a little bit, and he seems about enjoying it. I mean, he does plenty of work here. I have a 400-metre slip track, so he does plenty of galloping here, but I've just tried to keep him away from the track, and he seems to be enjoying it. He can go up to 2 weeks without getting behind the lure. Doesn't seem to bother him as long as he works here. So, it doesn't make him any quicker earlier or anything. It just he just runs the same sort of race.
He's a grand campaigner. You and your wife, Marie, are no strangers to having a good hard chaser. You own former top-line stay at Iringa Barbie. Brad Hill Billy, he would have to be near the top of the tree, though?
Oh, yeah. Well, we never trained Barbie much. Uncle John trained Barbie. So, this is the first dog I've really trained of this calibre, so that's a bit special. But Barbie was a champion in her own right. She could sprint and stay, so that was something unique. Yeah, what she could do.
Now you probably consider yourself more of a breeder and rarers than owners and trainers. And Billy landed in your kennel a couple of years ago after winning the Launceston Cup. How did that all come about?
Yeah, well, we did consider ourselves more of a rearing establishment and breeding, and then we decided that we'd have a bit more of a go of training. So I've always dealt with the Pringles who live in Tasmania, and Joe had this dog, and he said, would I have a go at him? And I said, yes, I would. So he'd come with me, already winning a Launceston Cup. So I didn't have to do too much, just card him about, mate, yeah.
And you've done a terrific job with Brad Hill. Billy, no doubt you've had a good look at the opposition on Saturday night. Who do you rate the main dangers?
Oh, look, of course, if Falcon's Fury gets the start right and, you know, they get away, any of the speed dogs, if someone gets a break on me and I get held up, well, I'm running for place money. But, you know, I mean, it's going to be hard. There's a bit of speed there, yeah. Just depends who brings the A game on the night. I mean, I know I'm not going to lead, so the box is not such a big deal as just the dogs around him, what they do, you know. When they get to the corner, if he can find the fence and have a crack at him down the, you know, set himself up down the back, that's what he likes to do.
Well, Ray, there aren't many greyhounds in the country who deserve a Group 1 win more than Brad Hill Billy. Good luck, and thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim. Thank you.
Sean, there's Ray Smith, who has Brad Hill Billy engaged in the Paws of Thunder on Saturday night. And prior to Ray, Pam Braddon, who has got the favourite, Falcon's Fury. He's a boom young pup, unbeaten in four runs at headquarters, and the clear favourite in the big one comes Saturday night. Tomorrow afternoon, the Group 3 Devonport Cup is the highlight down in Tasmania, and Gavin Burke has penned Tira Nera lining up. Gavin's joining us online. First of all, Gavin, overnight you were cruising over on the Spirit of Tasmania from Melbourne. It's a unique way to travel. How did you all pull up?
Yeah, no, good, mate. It goes overnight. So, you know, the dog's time frame that the Spirit of Tasmania cruises over is normally the time they're in bed and sleeping. So, in overall, it's probably the best way to come across, not interrupting their day-to-day routine as you would if you were coming over on the boat during the day.
I just assume you would have flown over. Did you do similar last Tuesday when he was brilliant leading all of the way in the heat?
Yep, yeah, come over on the boat. He's sort of a dog that the more you can keep him involved in his normal day surroundings, the better. Plus, if you fly over, you've then got to get a car and run around and rely on other people. This way you can just drive the vehicle on, sleep in it with their water and everything, just drive straight off, and it's, you know, the van itself set up for greyhounds only. So try and keep it as close to what he'd normally do at home as I can, no matter where I go.
Now, he's been well-travelled throughout his career. He obviously handles the travelling well, and so do you.
Yeah, look, probably the coming across on the boat was probably a good test for him, but I weighed him before he left Melbourne, and he was 31.2 last night, and when I got here this morning, he was 31.1, so he's lost basically nothing. So, he's as I said before, he's a good package. You know, not much bothers him, and yeah, he's certainly a good traveller and good in boxes, which is a good thing for any greyhound, let alone ones that you know, are probably a bit above average.
Now, the tab.com.au market has Pantera Nera $2.80 favourite, Chief Jet Pilot $3.40, Your Shout Punk $3.80, and Windburn Toosie $5.50, $12 or better the remainder. He handled box 8 beautifully in the heat. Box 5 is a tougher draw, but he's got the box matters and the early burn to overcome it.
Yeah, look, he has, Timmy. When I went away from there last week, I was a little bit concerned about his first split because he is usually really, really quick. When I got here this morning, I went down to the track to weigh him as I got off the boat, and I realised that here at Devonport, they don't have an outside solid fence. So when they run down that back straight into the first turn, they look straight through the what little fence there is and into the trot track and further out. So my guess is that he might have been sort of looking for the turn, as opposed to, you know, at our tracks, it's a solid fence. They sort of know where it is. But his run home was, I'm told, was very, very good. He ran home in 76 or something, which was by far the best. Their local dog, Jeff Pilot, he's a very good dog. The only probably downside to him is last week he came out about four lengths behind them. So I don't think any dog, including mine, can afford to come out second last to last and win a group race.
Yeah, when they're running time in front, virtually impossible to do. Now, he recorded 25.63 in his heat, which was the best of the day. Now, you didn't trial at the track prior. How do you think, how much do you think he can improve with a look around there? Is there a couple of tenths?
Look, in general, Timmy, he generally, what he does the first time, he probably won't improve much than about a length and a half. But I think there's probably a couple in the first split. His run home was good and drew away from two of their very good dogs in his heat. So I think if he's going to improve any, I think it'll be to the first mark. And I'm only going on your shout, Punk. In Melbourne, he's generally quicker than him, and he actually went a length quicker than him to the first mark. So, yeah, look, I think there's improvement in him. At the end of the day, you've got to have a lot of luck in any of these races, and luck will probably play a bigger part more than sometimes the dog's ability. But I'm not worried about the box. He's generally a good box dog. The dog's on his outside are slow. The one at Edie underneath him, it's called Casaro something lad. It came out second last behind them as well. So, in going off last week heat, the dogs around him. Well, he's in a good spot as far as that goes. He's just got to get out and get across. And I think if he can at any stage get near the front, I don't think they'll be able to run him down. I certainly think he'll go out and run some time if he lobs on the lure, and anything from behind's going to have to run, you know, exceptional times to make that ground up. But you say that, and they come out, you know, fourth and fifth, and don't get into it. But you know, he's a consistent dog in Melbourne and anywhere he goes. So I can't see today, but tomorrow being any different.
I will declare, Gavin, I have a tiny share in your shout, Punk. He's sitting up in box one. He's a high-speed greyhound, and as you just mentioned, he was poorly away last week, but he did clock the quickest early section. Both your bloke and your shout, Punk, do look the early leaders, but Pantera Never, if he does camp right on your shout, Punk, I've got no doubt he'll run him down because he's much stronger at the 450.
Yeah, well, you know, it goes to show the quality of dogs over here. Like, I watched Diego Bale, and he run Ashton Bolero down to a nose at the Meadows the week or two before. He actually led, and I thought, oh, geez, he'll win, and yet he got run down as well. So, Yoshia Pump, yeah, look, I think the 450 will probably see him out. I know he's a very quick dog and everything like that, but probably the downside to him is probably that last little bit, and the run home times sort of showed that. I forget what he run home in, but I'm told my run home time was good. So yeah, I tend to agree with you. If we can sit in the first one or two and stay out of trouble, I'd you know, he'd certainly be a hard dog to hold out in the run home.
Yeah, there's no doubt in the world. Your shout, Punk, his peak distance is about 420, so that extra 30 metres, it's like a big bear jumps on his back. He really begins to paddle. He needs to lead and lead clearly to get the money. Now, the Warrigal Cup, are you heading there with Pantera Nera after the Devonport Cup?
Yeah, we are. We'll. It's probably not an ideal gap between, but I'll take any win, lose or draw to the beach on the Wednesday, because we don't come back to Wednesday night, and just take him to the beach and freshen him up. So we'll go to the Warrigal Cup, and depending on what happens there, it'll either be the Launceston Cup or we'll head to the Cranbourne Cup. It just depends on how he pulls up and sort of what happens over the next sort of three races in terms of the heats and the final here and the Warrigal heats and final as well. But
Gavin, all the very best with Pantera Nera in tomorrow's Devonport Cup.
Thanks, Tim. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Gavin Burke there, who has the favourite Pantera Nera lining up in the Devonport Cup on Tuesday afternoon. Now, we come back to Sydney. Now, the co-feature at Wenty this coming Saturday night will be the Group 2 Summer Plate for the half-milers. Two heats were conducted on the weekend. Run by Bono for Dean Swain, one heat one, and It's a Fling won the second for Mark Gatt. He's joining us online. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Really well, really well. It's a Fling found trouble on debut at the track a fortnight ago, but she proved what she's capable of with an even share of luck on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's right. She got a little bit more luck on Saturday night and just stuck to the fence and railed up under him and basically fell in with, who was the second dog?
Ebby Ripper.
Ebby Ripper, great. I thought he was a super run. He was... Actually, he started, I think, around $12, $15. I thought that was ridiculous. And anyway, he went down basically a half head to my bitch, and I thought his run was super. And, this bitch, I've only had her for about 3 weeks, a month now. I'm basically just caretaker for her while she's on a holiday from Wayne Basala. and she seemed to settle in better and better every week. And I think a draw's not too bad on Saturday night in the final. She's got Dean Swain's dog Runaway Bono on the inside, who should jump and sort of cut over and run. And I think two sort of average dogs early on her outside. So as long as she comes out, I think she can sort of put herself into the race, and hopefully just she improves that little bit more.
Yeah, Very Choosy's got the 1, Celestial Folk in 2, Dublin Ball 3, Runway Bono 4, Lovelace 5, It's a Fling in 6, Burn One Down 7, and Ebby Ripper in box number 8. Now, it does look an average draw, but I was looking, as you said, Lovelace on her inside will want to run to the rail, and Burn One Down and Ebby Ripper, they both haven't got any pace at all. So she's drawn, even though on paper it might look a dodgy draw, but she may not be too badly suited out there.
Yeah, that's right. That's when I had a look at it first, I thought, you know, box 6 not good, but Lovelace and Runaway Bono will both sort of go down to the left, and as you said, not too much pace on his outside with on her outside with Ebby Ripper and Burn One Down. But she just got to sort of put herself into the race, and I did think she was going to go a little bit better than she did in the heat, and hopefully she's saving it for the grand final.
Now, you mentioned she's been in the kennels for a few weeks. You're just caretaker trainer. She will head back to Wayne in Victoria after Saturday night's race?
Yeah, she'll go back down to Wayne after Saturday. We're hoping that she can win or run a really good second and force her way into the Zoom top race, the selected race down in Melbourne.
Now, you and Wayne have a great relationship. You help each other when transferring greyhounds between New South Wales and Victoria quite a bit.
Yeah, we do. He sent a couple of dogs up, a couple of handy sort of city dogs to me just recently, and we just sort of try and move them and place them around and get what we can out of them. And, this bitch here, he thought it would be a good idea to give her a little bit of a holiday, and she's been with him basically from day dot, so he thought it would be a good idea to get her out of his kennel and into mine and have a bit of a holiday. And I think it was a good idea for her because she's a bit of a ditzy type of bitch and not real confident, and I've just sort of noticed a growing in confidence, you know, each day that she's been with me.
Now, while I have you, Ritzolini, he's one of the quickest greyhounds in the country, and I'd imagine one of the almost frustrating in the kennels. Where's he at the moment? He had a little injury?
Yeah, he broke his toe. He's done the ligaments in his toe, and we had to operate on them and stitch him back in place. And he's come back. He's had 2 trials back and going as good as ever. So we're just aiming him at the Bulleye Gold Cup, February the 18th, I think it is.
And then headed toward the Golden Easter Egg. Will you head maybe down to Victoria for the Australian Cup? Will you look at that?
Yeah, I'll probably just keep him at home. There's a fair bit on at home. You've got, the Australian Cup, he won't be quite ready in time. I'm pretty sure the Australian Cup's early February.
Early March. Late February, early March.
Oh, okay. We might have to have a look at that.
Now, before I let you go, I know you're an astute judge. Burn One Down, the one to beat in the Group 2 summer played on Saturday night.
Oh, definitely, mate. You know, I don't kid myself. If he gets clear running, and don't worry about what he done in the heat. He's had a look around there now, and I think he had a look when he was a pup and that, but it's been a long time between drinks for him, and he's had another good look around and sort of had no luck. But if he gets on the pace and sees daylight, he'll take care of him. Don't worry about that.
Mark, good luck in the summer plate on the weekend.
Okay, thank you. See ya.
Mark Gatt there. It's a Fling, currently $8 with tab.com.au in Saturday night's Group 2 Summer Plate at Wentworth Park. Well, Sean, that's going greyhounds for another week. We thank Pam Braddon, Ray Smith, Mark Gatt and Gavin Burke for giving up their time and coming on to today's show.